People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
I love the story of the visiting preacher that was preaching in a southern church, and he was preaching along, and he said, "Folks, I believe God wants this church to walk." And the man on the front row said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." After a little while longer, he said, "I believe God wants this church to fly." And the man on the front row said, "Let it fly, preacher, let it fly." He said, "Now it's going to take some money for this church to fly." And the man said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk."
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Continuing in Victory.
And so David's preparation and excitement was a reflection of his heart. And one of the first thing that wanes as the heart for God wanes is generosity. I concur with Ken Blanchard. So David was preparing from the heart. Notice secondly, Solomon's preparation. I love this. Now fathers, listen to this. Kind of catch the picture. Here's David with all the mighty rulers of the kingdom, but he's really talking to Solomon here. And he's challenging his son. And notice what he says in verse number 8, just for a moment. The Bible says, and Solomon, rather verse number 8 of chapter 28. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our Lord, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land. Verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Now, David was prepared. That's fine. Now catch this analogy. Thank God for every 75-year-old man in this church who prepares and participates in the work of the Lord. But it's time for some young marrieds. It's time for some young men to grow up in their faith as well. Can I get an amen to that? That's what's happening here. There's the transference. David said, I'm ready. Solomon, you get ready, because we're not going to go forward unless every generation is involved. So he says, Solomon, verse 8, I want you to seek God's commandments. And the word seek here means to inquire, to consult and inquire of God. Now, the heathen nations around Israel had sought diviners and necromancers and witchcraft, and they had sought many different false spiritual counselors. And David says, Solomon, I want you to seek after my God. And fathers, that ought to be the heart of every father here, that we ought to think and pray that our sons and daughters would follow in our steps and follow after our faith. And this ought to be our passion today and something that we pray for. And so he says, I want you to seek God's commandments, and then I want you to serve God willingly. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and now, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Would you say that with me? And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God. Say it again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God. Look at dads. A lot of times our sons, they know the church. They know the Christian school. They know where the gymnasium is. They know some of this type of thing. But we want to pray that they have a personal relationship with God. That they know how to pray, that they know how to love, serve, and give to God. And here, David said, Solomon, I want you to love God. And by the way, parents, that ought to be the passion of your heart. How about this little single mom on the video, and she said, I want my children to know God. Amen. That ought to be our passion today. Amen. That's why we come to church. Right. That's why we continue. That our children may know God. And ladies and gentlemen, far more than ministry, far more than programs, we must have a relationship with God where we are praying and seeking His will and learning His attributes. And Solomon is challenged to serve God in this way. And so with a perfect heart, he's to prepare his heart. Notice secondly, not only must we have the preparation of the heart, but secondly, we must have the preparation of the mind. All right? How do you get from here to victory? You got to start with the heart that's ready. Then you got to get your mind ready. You've got to be thinking properly. Look at verse 9 now again. He says, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Now, I want you to know, I want you to have personal knowledge of, you see. And the most significant contribution we make in this life is the passing of the truth to the next generation. We ought not to say, oh, I don't get anything out of that. We ought to say, yes, we get to invest in the next generation so that young people can learn the truth of God. How many of you are glad that children can be saved? John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. You see, the world today has abandoned the children, and they're letting children be raised by MTV and sex ed classes, and the world's education is very evident in the moral demise that's happening all around us today. But thank God that he has given the institution of the home, and he has given the institution of the church to pass the faith along. And so we've got to have a prepared heart, but we've got to have a prepared mind. And David says, Solomon, I want you to know. I want you to know God. Now, what kind of a mind do we need to have as a church in this hour? Notice, first of all, it must be a willing mind. A willing mind. Look at verse 9 once again. Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. That is a desirous mind. There's got to be something in our hearts today that says, Lord, I am willing to pursue you. I am willing to continue after you. Nehemiah 4 and 6 says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. It was not just Nehemiah, it was the people that had a prepared mind for the work of the Lord. And by the way, the Lord knows our heart. Verse number 9 also says, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. Listen, how many of you believe that God is omniscient? He knows all. And I'll tell you right now, he knows exactly what's on your mind today. He knows if you sit in church and in your mind change your oil or count the clock, or he knows what's going on in your mind today. And God says, I'm searching the minds and I'm looking for some people with a willing mind. People that believe that I can. People that are willing to trust and to follow. And that ought to be the spirit that we have today, is the spirit of a willing mind. Years ago, we were having one of these banquets. We used to rent the fairgrounds. And back when we did that, one of our members wrote me a letter that I filed and took a look at last week. And she said this. She said, the banquet is the highlight of my year. It's the ball, the prom, the homecoming, all in one. I don't have to go to banquets. I get to go, love to go, want to go, need to go, pray to go, work to go. Each one touches my life in a different way. Thank God that I have a job so that I might be a part. That was her spirit. How many of you would say that reflects a willing mind? That's someone that's thought it through and said, you know what? This is good. This is great. I want to be a part of it. So we must have a willing mind. Secondly, we must have a believing mind. You must have a believing mind. I don't care if it's for your family, your business. I don't care if it's for the church. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 10. Everybody with me so far? I'm going to talk as fast as I can. You listen as fast as you can, all right? Verse 10. Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now a believing mind must be strong. And twice David says this to Solomon. He says it again in verse number 20. He says, be strong and have courage and do it. Now from these two admonitions, it appears to me that Solomon may have been a little overwhelmed in the task before him. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been overwhelmed with a task before you? Am I the only one? Come on, if you have a teenager, raise both hands. And if you have teenagers, sometimes you've got to say, man, I need to have a strong mind. And I see here that Solomon twice is being told, like Timothy in the New Testament. Here's being told, be of good courage, Solomon. Be strong and do it. Stick with this, Solomon. You need to get this done. In fact, he says specifically in verse number 10, be strong and do it. Like the Nike symbol, just do it. Just get it done. And yet some people have trouble with keeping that mind strong in that way. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Again, we see it here as he is challenging Solomon to be strong and do it. And the implication is, Solomon, God is always present. It's always possible. And we must be strong. And notice, secondly, we must fear not. Did you see that in verse 20? Notice that in verse 20. David said unto Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not. Would you say that with me, please? Fear not. Fear not. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Fear not. Faith answered. Nobody was home. When faith is canceling out fear, God begins to work and do great and mighty things. And let me tell you this. Everything we do for God begins with an attitude. Everything. This service, what you get out of it, depends on the attitude you brought to it. Look at everything we do begins with an attitude. Your day at work tomorrow will begin with an attitude. The way you approach a project. And David says, Solomon, I want you to have the right attitude about the temple. Here's the attitude. I want you to be strong, and I want you to do it, and I want you to fear not. Here's the attitude, my friends. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. My friend, it doesn't really matter the task. If it's a God-pleasing, God-ordained task, then you must recognize the importance of preparing your heart, preparing your mind. It's got to be approached with the attitude that God is able, God can provide. I'm going to continue by the grace of God. Be strong and do it. Fear not, David said. So we must, on the way to victory, first prepare our heart. Not the mind first, because the heart is where all spiritual matters must begin. Then we must prepare our mind. And then notice thirdly, we must prepare a pattern. There must be the preparation of a pattern. Now this is where some of you guys that build airplanes and buildings, listen, you've got the blueprint. You've just got a lot of reprobate hearts and minds you're working with, and sometimes that can be a challenge too. But I'll tell you right now, a carnal mind or a carnal heart is just as hard to work with. So you've got to have a spiritual heart, a ready mind, and then you've got to have the right pattern. Now look at verse 11. And David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat. Now, what I have found is that when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. So David, his heart was right with God. Now he could see what God wanted him to do, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But David, now with a heart and with a mind in tune with God, now he could get the plan and he could work the plan to the glory of God. He had a pattern to follow. And I want you to think, first of all, briefly about the pattern of the temple. The pattern of the temple. You see, God was going to give to them a pattern to follow. And if a vision will survive, it must be accomplished with a strategy and accompanied by a strategy of faith. And so God says, I'm going to give you a pattern now to follow. And the pattern is reflective of the ultimate temple that would be built. Now think about this temple for a moment. Think about the distinction of the temple and what all was involved in this project. Just very quickly, this was 45 feet tall. It was 90 feet long. It was 30 feet wide. And it had furniture that had to be prepared, not only for the outer temple, but for the Holy of Holies. The candlesticks, the golden altar of incense, the tables of showbread, the silver candles, the brazen altar, all of the brazen laver. All of these pieces of equipment had to be prepared. Now, I am telling you, nothing would ever be prepared without willing minds and willing hearts. But once those things were prepared spiritually, now the workers could begin on the other things that needed to be done in order to service the worship of 4 million people. And these 24,000 priests who would make sacrifice on the days of holy days of sacrifice, they would be representing the 4 million people in this nation. And so they had a plan for their generation. By the way, God has a plan for this generation, and his plan is the local New Testament church. Now, David definitely prepared his heart, definitely prepared his mind, definitely had a pattern for the temple. But notice what else David did in chapter 29 and verse 2. Everybody with me? Chapter 29, verse 2. Now, David says, I have prepared. Would you say those three words with me? I have prepared. Okay, David says, now I have prepared with all my might. Would you say those three words, please? With
all my might.
That's four words, all right? Now I have prepared with all my might, he says. And then notice this, for the house of my God. Now I have prepared with all my might. For the house of my God, the gold for things of gold, made of gold, the silver to be things of silver, etc., etc. Here we see David personally prepared. David said to all of the people, I'm not asking you to do what I'm not doing. He said, I have personally prepared. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. David was ready and willing with his resources. David knew that God was the owner of this gold and silver, and he was the steward or the manager of it. Ken Blanchard said, the successful person has learned how to make money, but the significant person has learned how to give it away. And so there's not simply a life thought of in terms of success, you see. It's in terms of significance. There is a great difference between success and significance. And someone that lives a significant life is personally involved in advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David said, I want you to be personally involved in this. Secondly, he said, I want you to be affectionately involved. Affectionately involved. Notice if you would in chapter 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. I have set my affection to the house of my God. How many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ today?
Amen.
Amen. And we ought to love his church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible says, set your affection on the things that are above. I love the story of the visiting preacher that was preaching in a southern church. And boy, he was really getting going with the sermon. He was preaching along and he said, folks, I believe God wants this church to walk. And the man on the front row said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And boy, he got excited when that fellow started talking to him. He said, I believe God wants this church to run. And the man on the front row said, let it run, preacher, let it run. After a little while longer, he said, I believe God wants this church to fly. And the man on the front row said, let it fly, preacher, let it fly. He said, now it's going to take some money for this church to fly. And the man said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. You kind of find out how willing our heart and mind really is when we come to this thought of preparation of resources. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't get anything done in your technical job, in your aerospace job. Nothing's done without a pattern and a budget. And whether it's the temple or an F-135, you've got to have a blueprint and you've got to have a budget. And so we see here that David said, I've been preparing personally for this budget. I've been preparing affectionately. I've set my affection on this. Thirdly, he said, I've been preparing abundantly. Verse number 3, he says, moreover, because I have set my affection for the house of my God, I have of my own power of good and of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Notice this phrase in verse 3. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He said, I had some things in mind. I'm going to do more than I thought I was going to do. He abundantly prepared. 2 Corinthians 9 speaks to the church. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so we see today way that God has given us a pattern. It's very simple. There must be preparation. There must be the preparation of the heart. There must be the preparation of the mind. There must be the preparation of a pattern. And there must be the preparation of the resources. And that's what today's about. What good is a vision if we're not preparing for the vision? And God has called us, as with David, to be prepared for the work that he has called us to do. I clipped a little quote, and I want to say it to you this morning in light of the children. Scalia said this: Christians who actually expect to live according to the Bible can expect to be viewed as fools. Christians who actually expect to live according to the Bible can expect to be viewed as fools. Now, today we might deal with rumbling at the office and corporate policies about, you know, tolerance or whatever. And today there might be a little snickering on certain channels of the television and certain newsrooms. But I want you to just stop for one moment and ask this question, as I've been asking. What is this country going to be like for my grandson and granddaughter 10 years, 20 years from right now? Scalia prophesied, well, if they live for God, they're going to be treated like a fool. Which tells me that we need homes and churches now more than ever to help children know the God of their fathers so that they can stand in the evil day in which they are going to live. And if there's ever been a time to train teachers, to give our teachers the best classrooms, the best chalkboards, the best equipment, if it's ever been a time to let children know that God's word is the most important truth that you'll ever know, it is today. And our preparation, personally, makes a lot of statements about our desire to continue. Notice, if you would, the seven ways I placed in the conclusion. First, our preparation says that we still have compassion for the lost. It says we have hope for the next generation. It says we have faith in an eternal God. It says we're still committed to our personal faith. It says our pastor is still committed to the long-term vision of the church. It says we want to reach all people. It says we are staking our claim in the Antelope Valley. And I want to tell you today, where there is no interest, there is no investment. I recognize that not every member of Lancaster, listen, there'll be many members of Lancaster Baptist Church who will do nothing because there is no interest in spiritual things. But for those of you that know the Lord and are walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit, who are interested in spiritual things, then I believe God calls upon us to invest in the next generation for His glory. And I want to tell you something. The greatest investment ever made was not in a building. It was not in a program. The greatest investment ever made was made into you and to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary, who shed His blood so that we could know God, so that we could have a reconciliation to God. And I'll be preaching tonight a message on the reconciliation we have with God through His blood. But I want you to understand today, there is still a fountain filled with blood, and sinners drawn beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Someone shared the gospel with us. Now it's our turn. And I ask you this morning to prepare with me. Not just to dream with me, but to prepare. Hearts, minds, patterns, resources.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.